We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
My friends, what do you think about hell? Do you know what the Bible teaches about hell? The concept of eternal punishment has been written off by many people as one of those relics from the superstitious past. The trend today is toward the social gospel, with its light, fluffy sermons about peace, goodness, brotherhood, and the like, with some churches not even hearing the subject of hell even mentioned. The irony of it is the fact that the majority of the people in the world today are on their way to hell. Yet, it seems the subject of hell is least discussed of most Bible subjects, even in spite of the urgency of the matter. It would seem that since the majority of the people are going to hell, would not like to be disturbed in their pursuits, preachers and religious leaders prefer to accommodate them. Yes, preaching and teaching about hell has cooled off, but hell itself is just as hot as ever. Men may neglect the doctrine of God and may even refuse to believe His Word, but God's truth remains the same. The Bible that tells us of a wonderful heaven also tells us about an awful hell. The great eternal God tells us that there is an eternal hell for those who reject Christ and His gospel. The Bible reveals that when the Lord Jesus returns from heaven with His angels of power and flaming fire, He shall be rendering of vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might." 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. However, in spite of the clear declarations of the Bible, the doctrine of hell, or eternal punishment, is an extremely unpopular doctrine. As a matter of fact, many are the men who have spoken out in defiance of God's Word, denying the very existence of hell. Robert Ingersoll, the great skeptic, arrogantly declared, "The idea of a hell was born of revenge and brutality on one side, and of cowardice on the other. I have no respect for any human being who believes in it. I have no respect for any man who preaches it." End of quotation. Well, Ingersoll also said, "I dislike this doctrine, I hate it, I despise it, I defy this doctrine. This doctrine of hell is infamous beyond all words." End of quotation. Yes, this is typical of the attitude of those who have chosen to reject the teachings of God, even the very existence of God. Naturally, they despise the thought of hell. Yet the same one would come to us today and even try to disprove the Bible with the Bible. The great shame of it all is that even some religious leaders and their groups attempt to change the fundamental doctrine of God concerning eternal punishment. For example, there was a man by the name of Russell who helped to originate and promote one of the modern religious sects used to delight in hammering away at his favorite subject, quote, "the nightmare of eternal torture." As Russell saw it, this terrible doctrine was being preached by the ministers of established churches in order to instill fear in the hearts of their people and thus keep them under their strict domination. Furthermore, another one of the leaders said, "Too many people, religion is merely a fire escape. They have been scared into accepting it by hearing descriptions of a place which burns eternally, into which they have been told they will be cast at death if they do not get religion and go to church." End of quotation. So you see, my friends, there is obviously a tremendous amount of controversy concerning the subject of hell. Eternal punishment is very vigorously opposed by religious groups, some religious groups, and by the liberal, modernistic preachers in many pulpits, as well as many of the more expected quarters of atheism and skepticism. Thus, there are ample reasons for preaching and teaching on the theme of eternal punishment in hell. In the first place, we must preach on the subject of hell because it is the teaching of the Word of God. A man must preach about heaven and he should delight in doing so. Yet in order to reveal the whole counsel of God, a minister must preach about hell, even though he dislikes the very thought of such a place. The man of God has the solemn task of warning men to flee from the wrath of God. We are to warn people with tears about the condemnation of souls in eternity, yet tell them of a loving Savior who died to save them from hell. We must preach about hell to wake up slothful Christians. People all around us are dying in the terrible lost condition in sin. Yet, many Christians are asleep. They have forgotten the cleansing from their old sins. They have forgotten the great commission which the Lord gave when He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation." Surely, if Christians really knew what hell is like, nothing could stop them from urging men to come to Christ for salvation. Yes, we must preach on hell too in order that people will be concerned about their friends and their neighbors not being lost in eternity. Then, we must preach on hell to warn sinners. My friends, have you ever considered the fact that you could be in hell in another minute? David of old times declared, "That is but a step between me and death." 1 Samuel 20, verse 3. It is only a step into eternity. Yes, we must preach on hell because people are dying every day without Christ. Ultimately, every person has just one minute left before his final eternal destiny, heaven or hell. Have you realized the seriousness of this great appointment? Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? There is a place of everlasting punishment called hell. It is reserved for the devil and his angels. And those who follow Satan have rejected the Savior, they too will spend eternity with the devil in hell. God said so. Christ Himself declared it to be true. The apostles and inspired writers declared it to be so, and great Bible scholars of all time have admitted it to be so. We must believe in and preach the danger of this place called hell. Some people have no use for the gospel of Christ and the Lord's church. They have hated preachers of the gospel, and they have laughed at the truth of the Bible. Some of them are dead and gone into eternity in hell. We might ask one of them, if it were possible to talk with them, "Did you intend to come to this awful place?" "No, no," surely would be the reply, "a thousand times no. I just waited too long and death slipped upon me. The next thing I knew, I was here." My friends, hell is filled with people who are not all wicked, not all drunkards, not all murderers. There will be many wicked folks there. But there will also be those who were good people, but who neglected to include Christ in their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is real. One of the most pressing reasons why we should return to the preaching of the Bible doctrine of hell is seen in the effects of our having denied hell in this generation. What are the effects, the results of unbelief in hell? In other words, in addition to souls being lost in eternity, what are the results in this life when people refuse to believe in hell? An obvious result in our age is that we have uncontrolled sinfulness in our society. When a child knows that there is no discipline when he dishonors and disobeys his parents, he is likely to go on and disrespect his parents or disregard authority. On the other hand, the child who knows that there will be punishment for his misdeeds will likely be controlled by such thoughts. Likewise, in our society, if men in general think that they can kill and steal and without swift, severe punishment, they are hardly going to hesitate when they are tempted to do so. In like manner, with respect to the Word of God, if a man believes he can live a life of sin and not be punished eternally, most likely he will go the limit. This is the fact of human nature. Although fear of punishment is not the only motive involved in our relationship with God, it is one of the most powerful feelings that God has chosen to employ in His dealings with mankind. As the Hebrew writer revealed to the early Christians, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire, which shall devour the adversaries. For we know him that said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Hebrews 10:26-31. Yes, men have forgotten the wrath and the justice of Almighty God. Unbridled sin is rampant in our age. For example, we have a crime wave sweeping our country today that has never been known in the history of this country. Never has our nation experienced such wanton destruction of property, so much killing and raping and so many robberies. Such things are daily occurrences. If men knew that eternal punishment awaited them for their criminal activities, surely many would hesitate before plunging into such practices. What a rude awakening sinners are going to have in hell. Furthermore, we have practically legalized adultery in this age. We often hear of a wedding only to be told that this is her second, third, or fourth, or fifth marriage. Men and women today are treating God's marriage laws with contempt. If they only knew the Scripture's teaching concerning the wages of death, surely they would be motivated to change the attitudes and practices that lead to multiple marriages, with their attendant evils of divorce battles, forsaken children, broken hearts, and homes. What a harvest hell will reap as a result of these modern evils. In addition to all this, another curse of our modern society is seen in the rapid rate of suicide. Many are taking their own lives, including an alarming number of young people. Why shouldn't they? They have been told by liberal preachers and professors that there is no life after death, no punishment for what is done in this world. And when they are enmeshed in the troubles and the despair of this life, they have none that they can go to God. There is no God, there is no hell, there is no heaven. Therefore, they will just take their own lives. What a tragedy. They jump from the proverbial frying pan into the fire itself. They trade their temporary troubles for an eternal torture. If only they had heard the warnings of God's Word about hell. Finally, one of the most tragic results of disbelief in hell is the natural cooling off of evangelistic efforts. If there is no hell, no eternal punishment for anyone, why worry about winning souls to Christ? Beloved, there are churches with hundreds of members who baptize hardly a handful in a year's time. There is no emphasis on the great fundamental doctrines of the Bible. All this is the natural result of liberal, modernistic preaching and teaching. It was said of one preacher that his sermons were shot through with philosophy. They needed to be shot through with the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? The philosophies of men will not save one soul. Only the blood of Christ can cleanse a man from his sins. We have to believe there is something to be saved from, as well as something to be living for, before we're going to be constrained to go out into the world and preach the gospel to save the lost. Yes, the world certainly is lost without Christ and without the Bible. And the Bible gives full assurance of the fact that there is a hell for the lost. The results of such modern theories and teachings are obvious all around about us. My friends, have you been taken in by such smooth speech and sophistication? You can be sure hell is a Bible subject. Listen to these words of inspiration, Revelation 20:12-15. "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and the dead were judged out of the things which are written in the books, according to their works. and death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, even the lake of fire. And if any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. Have you ever heard of a person saying, well, I don't believe in hell because God is a God of love and surely will not send anyone to hell? As I've said to you before, God will not send anybody to hell. Every soul who will spend eternity in hell will go there of his own choice and volition. If one should be concerned about his own soul, however, enough to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible, he would do something about his destiny, because there is heaven or hell to choose. The same Bible that tells us about heaven tells us about hell. As a matter of fact, there would be no reason to believe in heaven if it were not for the Bible. And the same Bible that tells us about heaven gives full assurance of the fact that hell awaits those who are unprepared to meet God. It matters little about the rantings and ravings of men, the skeptics and the atheists. It really does matter what the Bible says. Where will your soul spend eternity?